Talk will be shorter than normal because we're breaking bread and also saying prayers of dedication downstairs. But this scripture reading, you'll know very well. Please follow it carefully. And our theme through Advent is actually reaching out. And we're thinking, of course, as Advent, about the return of Christ and being ready. Yeah. Normally, this passage is not read until after the Christmas services in the early part of January. But of course, if you think in our storyline, our account, the Magi would have been on the road for months and months and months before ever they got to see the baby Jesus. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up on the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he asked them, "Well, where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel.'" So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. After they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, "Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you to leave." Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and left during the night for Egypt. Okay, we're going to pause there. I hope that during this season you are beginning to read the gospel accounts of the coming of people to worship the King of the Jews, the child born in the stable. For those of you who are much more visual, I suggest, as well as reading those gospel accounts, if you buy some sort of DVD at Christmas, because some of them are just such sentimental tosh and so not related to the facts. This is the best one I've seen so far, which is the Nativity story. It's a 90-minute DVD. It's not fully historic in that it suggests there are three wise men, and of course we don't know that there were. It suggests we know their names, and of course we don't. It suggests they come to the stable, and of course they didn't. They came to the house. But other than that, it's shot in the Middle East. It's culturally real. Your kids are going to learn so much if they see some of these details about what it would have been like instead of just all pink and fluffy and, you know, stuff like that. So I do recommend this as probably the best one. You can get it off Amazon for less than £3.50, and there's no postage on it. If anybody doesn't use Amazon but would like one of these, if you ask me, I'll order you a copy. I've just ordered 5 more for all of my family, because I'm utterly convinced that not just the children but some of the adults really just don't know the facts. But it's really well produced. So recommend that one if you want to get the details. We're thinking about, on the PowerPoint, reaching out for the return of Jesus Christ and being ready. I'm picking up really from where I left off last Sunday. Now, Advent is a very short season of 4 weeks in which we are meant to actually reflect not just on the coming of God into the world in a human body, but also on waiting for the return or the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we are not just... You're going to have to ping it, Jim. If you can keep going on to it, that would be good. We're not just hanging around trying to fill in time. We're seeking to work with God and his people. But we are living with an expectation and a hope that he is coming again. And the Greek words that is used there is parousia. He is literally coming again. Now, as a younger Christian, I knew that the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testaments, taught that Jesus would return. But that didn't seem in any way really to relate closely to my living in everyday life. But I have to admit that the teaching that Christ is coming again, the more I go on, becomes more and more important to me. And in fact, every time we share this meal, this communion meal, we say, if you can move on to slide 2, please, we break this bread and drink from this cup until he comes again. If you just keep pinging until you catch up with me, Jim, that would be good. Then I don't have to keep saying that. We break this bread until he comes again. There's a picture, please. Okay, moving on. We're thinking about the Magi, and we're talking here not of simple magicians. Later, they may well have developed into what we know as the magicians and the sorcerers. But these are people who studied the stars, who used the knowledge they had of the planets and so on to try and see how what went on in the universe, in the cosmos, related to the world. But it was a form of study. It wasn't particularly looking in a narrow sort of sense. The Bible here is not particularly condoning it. This was a reality. These were spiritual people that were trying to work out how the heavens and the earth linked together. And the Jewish prophet, Daniel, in your Bibles, speaks about this class of people, this priestly caste of people, the Magi, because he encountered them. And although God clearly condemns the use of the stars in divination and things like that, the Bible, of course, does not forbid scientific study of the stars and the universe. These men, we are told, actually came from the east, and that would have been the former Persian Empire, what we now actually know as Iran. And they had this priestly function. They were non-Jewish, they were religious astrologers, and they were seekers for truth. They know that the child is going to be born in Judah, and he is born to be the king of the Jews. Remember that some of the prophecies Daniel had spoken would have been stored in their libraries, and we now know that for sure. But the place of his birth, they were not completely sure of, but it was Herod's advisors, the Jews, that said it would be in Bethlehem, where David had actually been born, and they knew that from the prophecy of Micah. From verse 16, we see, as I've mentioned earlier, that they had planned and prepared this journey, probably for 2 years or even more. This wasn't a sudden thing. They would have travelled overland for many months, and they were determined not to find a star. They weren't looking for a star, but they were looking for a special child born in Judah. And that's where the emphasis should be. Their outlays would have been very expensive to travel such a distance. They would probably have had to leave younger members of the family behind. And we know that their gifts were chosen with great care and were very, very expensive. There's great uncertainty in this time, as in our own. There was uncertainty about the economics. There were outbreaks of war and so on all over the place. Confusion about morality, how people should behave on their own and corporately. Just the same as in our day. And into this time of crisis, Jesus is born. He wasn't born into an idyllic pastoral scene. He was born into a time of crisis, of Roman occupation and great difficulty. And what God's people discover in the time of crisis, the vision that they develop, is just so important. And even for ourselves, as we remember, this same Jesus who ascended into heaven is going to come back. We find a strength in our time of crisis because the nations of the world are in great difficulty. Thanks, Jim. We need to live in the present with the hope of the return of Christ. That is to make a difference now. And I have to say that, therefore, the teaching about the return of Christ is very important to us. It's not a form of escapism. It's a means by which we live in the present. We reach out for the return of Jesus, if you could roll on, Jim. And that can give us great hope and purpose in these difficult days. The future of everyone is tied into the return of Jesus, not just Christians, but the future of all the members of your family, all the nations of the world is tied into the return of Christ, just as his coming, his birth, has affected all peoples, so the future of all peoples. Now, the Magi believed the child whose birth was marked by a particularly bright star was of global significance. These were not Jews. These were people coming from what we know as the Arab world. We don't know what particular astrological event they observed. We don't know the exact details of it. Was it a comet? Was it some sort of merging of planets? Is a possibility Saturn, Jupiter? But there was an expectation in the whole of the region that a great birth was to happen. And you know the Romans particularly believed there would be a star in ascendancy at the birth of somebody really great. The Roman historian Suetonius actually writes about the expectation somebody great is going to be born. And Tacitus and the Jewish historian Josephus also write that people were expecting a significant birth. And we have been promised not just that the first coming of Jesus, but that he actually will return. So many people's lives are almost on hold, waiting for this economic crisis to finish, waiting for us to get through this difficulty, waiting for something special they think is going to happen. But our expectation, our eager expectation, our moving on in life, should be because of the return of Jesus Christ. It says in the Psalms, on the day of God's power, in other words, when God works, we will be ready. We won't be messing around. We won't be waiting, you know, for the economic crisis to turn, hopefully. Although we all do pray for a change of heart of the greedy and therefore a change of heart throughout the world. But we look eagerly. We are citizens of heaven. We earnestly wait or eagerly wait for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. And that is what we are praying for. And we need to be ready, not just for the Olympics, could we roll the slide on please, Jim, but for the Lord's return. No one knows the day or the hour that he is actually coming, and that's incredibly important. We know that from many scriptures, but particularly Matthew 24. We must be constantly reaching out for the light, living in daily faithfulness and obedience. So we're eagerly looking for the return of Jesus, but we're not gazing into the heavens. Did you ever think how poignant it was that the angel said, "Why are you looking into heaven?" So many people have looked to the stars or the oscillation of the planets, and it's come into our very psyche. My 13-year-old nephew had a globe which gives all the planetary signs on in Jeff's study and was spinning it as we were watching Science of Uganda yesterday, obviously bored out of his mind that we were showing him these, poor kid, trying to put his finger on the stars and the planets and say, "Oh, what are you? This is Aries. This is..." It's got into people's very psyche. People look into the heavens. We're not looking at the stars. We're looking for the return of Christ, but we're getting on with what needs doing. We're not observing the stars, reading the signs in the heavens and disasters in the earth. Although some Christians do. They say, oh, everything's getting worse and worse and worse. That must mean the Lord's coming again. They said that in every generation. The day of the Lord's return is now nearer than when we believed. If you look in Matthew 24, could we roll on, please, through this slide, Jim? Was it blocked for you? And again? And on to the sixth one. What are the signs of his coming? I'm not going to read them all out to you. And you can read in Matthew 24, verses 3 to 14 and beyond. And it talks about things happening in the heavens, and it talks about disasters in the world. And you, some of you will know that passage well. And I would like you to go and to read it. But it's very clear within that passage, certain key things, that no one knows the time. The kingdom will arrive in power. This world will end. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. These things will happen. I'm not doubting that for a moment. But it is very difficult to understand exactly what stage in history we're at. We may see and hear people saying, come over here. The Messiah's here. This great teacher's here. This is the message to hear. Some people have even said, the Lord has returned. Rastafarians did it with Haile Selassie and said, look, he's come back. We have been told in every generation that this will happen. And we can get terribly confused. We will see great and ongoing changes, but do not be deceived, says Jesus. You will see changes in the environment. You will see amazing things happen, but do not be deceived, however sensational they are, tsunamis or volcanoes and wars. These things happen in every generation, and they are indicators that the time is short and the Lord is coming. But we must live our lives in readiness for the Lord. There will be changes. We need, though, to be on our guard. We must be on our guard and always ready. If you want to add two B's to the five B's that we've looked at, here they are. Be on guard, verse 42, and be ready. Always be ready for the Lord's return. And I want to end just by saying, what does that mean, that readiness? Well, let's learn from the Magi. There was a readiness to travel from the known to the unknown, all right? And that is something we always need as Christians. And I spoke of this when I spoke of Abraham and Sarah. The familiar, leaving the familiar behind and moving into the unknown, is called the journey of faith. And it is what we are all called to do. If your life is mapped out for the next 20 years, get another life. All right? Yes, we have plans and hopes that we lean towards. Yes, we prepare. There's nothing wrong in that. But it should be on the basis that the Lord is returning. Readiness also means that like the Magi, they were not in search of a star. They weren't looking to astrological things or universal changes. They were looking for a baby born to be king of the Jews, a historic figure that came to change the course of history. Their focus was clear, and so should ours be. Do not concentrate on the signs that you are trying to read, what's happening in the environment and in the wars and the other things. Those things will happen, but we need to focus on the return of the Lord Jesus. They travelled to pay homage, to worship, not a star, but someone who was a king and a priest who was to sacrifice his own life for the salvation of the whole world. And they were called to give everything. And therefore, we need to be prepared to do that. Michael Green says this very beautifully. We treat this journey of the Magi as though it was just a children's story. Just think about it. We have seen, he says, how the Magi pursued what they knew to the uttermost and made an act of obeisance, that's obedience, and dedication that takes our breath away. It was amazing what they did, and we are called to do something amazing as well. And in number three, this costly journey, they discovered not just the baby as promised in a house, which was true, they did, but they discovered God. They learnt not just to read the stars, but actually to begin to hear the voice of God. God, the God of the universe, spoke to them through a dream. They began to discover God. And those who were used to interpreting dreams heard God speak to them. They, as it were, moved deeper from their seeking for the truth to discover God. I'm sure they were genuine, otherwise God would not have blessed them with this special call to come and to see the child born, the King of the Jews. And they would continue to seek God. They would continue to watch what happened there. And number four, they were warned by God to be on guard. Be careful. King Herod was a threat, not just to them, but to the child. Herod wants to kill this child. Why? Because Herod was the king of Judea, the king of the Jews. And here was coming one to take a throne. Jesus warns us in Matthew's gospel, the passage that I said to go and have a look at, Matthew 24, be on guard. Don't relax for a moment. There is so much that we can learn from this amazing journey that was taken. This seeking for Jesus. We're going to come and respond.